Russia has unleashed a wave of missile and drone strikes against a number of regions in Ukraine. Let's find out what's going on. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, did you hear anything where you are?
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. Lviv was actually calm. Although, as happens during these times of massive Russian missile attacks, the rockets are flying throughout the country, and they're constantly changing course. So here in Lviv, we had indication that missiles were incoming toward the city. Everyone was prepared. You just steel yourself for that moment, knowing that there could be an impact anywhere in the city. But at the last minute, those missiles turned, and they went to other places throughout Ukraine. And so that's part of, it's another element of the terror that Russia unleashes. You know, not only is the missile seeking a target to destroy, but in the process, it is, doing maximum, causing sort of maximum terror and discomfort throughout the nation during those 90 minutes this morning, starting from 6 a.m. And, as I looked at the map of the air raid alarms as they were going off early this morning in every single region of Ukraine, if you look at a map of Ukraine, it's very clear. It is the largest country in Europe, and you see that the sort of the hell that Russia can unleash along in such a huge territory. And just imagine if Ukraine was part of Russia, you could very easily imagine these same missiles flying to London and Paris. It would be the same distance from Western Ukraine. So I think it's an important thing to ask, especially on a day like today. If Ukraine was not holding the line, could we imagine how bad it would be in Europe and in NATO countries right now? And as we look at what has happened over the weekend, there is this cognitive dissonance. I mean, it's the Christmas holidays here. It's called the Feast of Jordan or the Epiphany, and you have bands of carolers, mainly teenagers, walking through the streets singing, dressed up in costumes. As the air raid alarms wail throughout the city, people lined up to the churches and the city halls to get holy water that was blessed. They took cold plunges in the rivers to commemorate the founding of Christianity in Kyiv 1,000 years ago and the baptism of Christ. And while all that's happening, there are air raid alarms and there are Russian attacks. On January 6th, there was a terrible attack in the Pokrovsk district of Donbass, where it seems right now 11 people were killed, including 5 or 6 children, with the bombardment of Russian missiles. And that's interesting because January 6th is Christmas Eve in Moscow. And so it just shows you that there is nothing holy or sacred. It shouldn't be a surprise at this point, but it's a good thing to point out that on Russian Christmas Eve, they chose to attack civilians. And then today, I knew as I went to bed at about 1 o'clock last night that there was a good indication that we were going to get attacked this morning. Just imagine that. How do you go to sleep knowing that your alarm clock is either going to be an air raid alarm or the sound of a missile hitting? And on top of that, it's very cold. Today, the high is 15 degrees Fahrenheit. And so everyone was thinking, this would be a perfect day for Russia to try to destroy the infrastructure to make people freeze. But the fact that I just went for a run and I had a hot shower tells you that Ukrainian air defense did a pretty good job this morning protecting infrastructure. But there were a few exceptions. In the city of Zaporizhia in the south, which really is the heartland of the Cossacks, many Russian missiles hit this morning. They hit in the city. I talked to people there. They said it was a terrifying morning. One girl in Zaporizhia, she said on X, this is my home city, and she showed a photo of her apartment building with no windows on this extremely cold day. And she said, "This is my home city after a visit by Russian culture," and sort of the Ukrainian sort of dark humor. That's what they call Russian missiles, Russian culture. And in addition to Zaporizhia, Kharkiv was hit. Not only was Kharkiv last night as people were going to bed, but it was also hit this morning. So really no rest for the people of Kharkiv. Dnipro was pounded as well, and the city of Kryvyi Rih. So it was a fairly big attack, although it was less than what we saw last Sunday. And I think, this is, as we look at all the discussions in Washington and as we go through these, it's like sort of Groundhog Day. you know, back to this routine of weekly attacks throughout the nation. You know, what we have, everyone is asking here, especially, what is the strategy of those who say they support Ukraine, of those who forced Ukraine to give up nuclear weapons in 1994 and the Budapest Memorandum, including the United States? Is the strategy simply to give Ukraine air defense? And so we'll live through Mondays or Tuesdays and whatever days like this every week in perpetuity, and the West will just keep sending air defense? Or does anyone want to actually put a stop to this and actually hit the Russian bases from whence these missiles arrive in Ukraine?
As much as I hate the sound of my alarm clock, I'll take it over yours any day, Joseph. Yeah. You mentioned Christmas Eve, and that reminds me, I didn't have a chance to talk with you over the holiday break, and you had a post, I think it was right before Christmas. Let me share this with the listeners now, because I thought it was really, really great. Joseph wrote, "Ukrainians keep Christmas well. In fact, for Ukrainians, Christmas season begins December 25th. They still will celebrate for weeks to come, a holiday devoid of the commercialism of the West. Groups of young and old carolers roam the streets. In a cafe today, an older woman stood to sing a carol, and the whole place grew quiet." And this is what I love you wrote at the end of this post. "The world is Scrooge, and Ukraine is the Cratchit family." Pretty good.
Yeah, that, I forgot that I wrote that. That's how we feel once again today. You know, this is the Cratchit family. They were suffering a lot, but they kept their cheer and joy and didn't want to become victims. And I think, you know, so much of those stories, all the great stories of good versus evil, whether it's Dickens or Shakespeare or Tolkien, you know, sometimes people sort of make fun of the Ukrainians for referring to these stories in this existential fight. But it's exactly those stories that remind people of the existence of evil and how good can prevail. And they sort of give comfort to everyone here in this time. And the spirits are very heavy right now. I mean, there is, you know, I think many people have are awake to the reality that the White House blames the Republicans for not supporting these spending packages for Ukraine, but the White House is refusing to send the weapons that can finish this. And there's a deep and scary sense that this is going to go on for a long time, and we're going to have to live these repeated, you know, under these missile strikes all the time. And that's why, especially, people have been gathering to sing together. And you, really, as you walk these snowy streets, even though it's 15 degrees, people are still out and about. I'm sure this evening there will be more people caroling through the streets. So this is the Christmas carol of 2024.
The people of Ukraine have our admiration, as do you, Joseph. Thank you, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.